Chapter 8. Traffic was heavy as I drove south on Old Cutler Road to pick up Cody and Aster, but for some reason, everyone seemed to be very polite in this part of town tonight. A man driving a large red Hummer even paused to let me in when the lanes merged, and I had to get over, which I had never seen before. It made me wonder if perhaps terrorists had slipped something into the Miami water system to make us all soft and lovable. First I had resolved to quit my dark ways, then Debs had thrown a fit of near weeping, and now a Hummer driver in rush hour was polite and thoughtful? Could this be the apocalypse? But I saw no flaming angels on the remainder of the drive to the park where Cody and Aster were interred, and once again I got there just before 6 o'clock. The same young woman was waiting by the door with Cody and Aster, jiggling her keys and practically dancing with impatience. She very nearly flung the children at me, and then, with a mechanical smile that was not in the same league as one of my fakes, she vaulted for her car at the far end of the parking lot. I loaded Cody and Aster into the back seat of my car and climbed behind the wheel. They were relatively silent, even Aster, and so in my role of new human father, I decided I should open them up a little bit. "Did everybody have a good day?" I said, with immense, synthetic good cheer.
"Anthony is such an asshole," Aster said.
"Aster, you shouldn't use that word," I told her, mildly shocked.
"Even Mom says that word when she's driving," she said, "and anyway, I heard it on the radio in her car."
"Well, you still shouldn't use it," I said. "It's a bad word."
"You don't have to talk to me like that," she said. "I'm 10 years old.
"Well, that's not old enough to use that word," I said, "no matter how I talk to you."
"So you don't care what Anthony did," she said.
"You just want to make sure I don't use that word." I took a deep breath and made a special effort not to ram the car in front of me. "What did Anthony do?" I said.
"He said I wasn't hot," Aster said, "because I don't have any boobs."
I felt my mouth open and close a few times, all by itself, and just in time I remembered that I still needed to breathe. I was clearly in far over my head, but just as clearly I had to say something.
"Well, I said quite distinctly. "I mean, very few of us do have boobs at 10. "He's such a butthead," she said darkly.
And then in a very syrupy sweet tone she added,
"Can I say butthead, Dexter?"
I opened my mouth again to stammer something or other, but before I could utter a single meaningless syllable, Cody spoke up.
"Somebody's following us," he said.
Out of reflex, I glanced in the rearview mirror. In this traffic, it was impossible for me to tell if somebody was, in fact, following us.
"Why do you say that, Cody?" I asked. "How can you tell?"
In the mirror, I could see him shrug.
"Shadow guy," he said.
I sighed again. First Aster with her barrage of forbidden language, and now Cody with his shadow guy. Obviously, I was in for one of those memorable evenings parents have now and then.
"Cody, the shadow guy can be wrong sometimes," I said.
He shook his head.
"Same car," he said.
"Same as what?"
"It's the car from the hospital parking lot," Aster interpreted. "The red one where you said the guy wasn't looking at us, but he really was, and now he's following us even though you think he isn't."
I like to think I'm a reasonable man, even in unreasonable situations like most of those involving kids. But at this point, I felt I had let unreality intrude just a little too far, and a small lesson was called for. Besides, if I was going to follow my resolve to cross over to the sunny side of the street, I had to start weaning them away from their dark imaginations at some point, and this was as good a time as any.
"All right," I said. "Let's see if he really is following us."
I moved into the left lane and signaled for a turn. Nobody followed us.
"Do you see anybody?" I said.
"No," Aster said very grumpily.
I turned left down a street beside a strip mall.
"Is anybody following us now?"
"No," said Aster.
I accelerated down the street and turned right.
"How about now?" I called cheerfully. "Anybody behind us?"
"Dexter," Aster grumbled.
I pulled over in front of a small and ordinary house, much like ours, putting two wheels on the grass and my foot on the brake.
"And now? Anybody following us?" I said, trying not to gloat audibly at making my point so dramatically.
"No," Aster hissed.
"Yes," Cody said. I turned around in the seat to scold him and stopped dead, because through the rear window of the car, I could see that a few hundred feet away, a car was nosing slowly toward us.